okay, for today. Now, I was away, of course, for 2 weeks, and I need to be updated as to what actually went down at the APC primaries, the analysis and everything, because I just took my mind off. A vacation for me is a vacation through and through. So I'm going to be talking this morning, having a chat with Angela Jetumobi. Yeah, of course, all of you know Angela, and she's well-versed in the nuances and the politics and whatever that goes on, you know, in both political parties. And I think we've had her here a few times. So she'll be here. After Angela has spoken, we're going to take your calls. We're going to, take your calls, your WhatsApp messages, your tweets, and so on and so forth. Now, let me quickly add that, please. I want to plead that we be tolerant to people who express views we don't agree with. I will not in any manner condone any form of abuse of anybody. Indeed, now my new policy on Twitter is you insult me once, I take you out of my network. I think we've just about had enough of that. Somebody can express views. You might not even like your own favorite candidate. We need to have what you call the spirit of tolerance. And somebody might not see things the way you see them, but it's no reason whatsoever for you to go insulting the person. In any case, if you indulge in abuse at such times, A, it doesn't help your candidate. B, it could even make people dislike your candidate the more. I mean, so let's try and show maturity and tolerance, especially when we have political discussions. Political discussions, political thoughts are like religion. What you believe in is what you believe in. And that's it. And don't let us have this habit of reading things beyond. Let me give you an example. Let's go back to what happened on Tuesday, because I don't run away from such things. I had said in my analysis that, okay, I think we might just be bogged down by having just these two. People thought that meant that I said that there's a third person that I was trying to ward off people. Somebody said they are trying to demotivate people. My job here is an analyst. This is not a motivation course. This is an analyst where, to the best of my ability and whatever guest I bring gives you the analysis. You don't have to agree. In fact, there are times I've been wrong. There's no problem with that. But it shouldn't really get down to abuse and slandering of character. By the way, I hope you know that some of the things that we say, especially in the social media, can lead us into trouble. Where you say things like, we will show you, we will do this. If anything happens to such a person and an analysis is done to trail down whatever, don't you think the authorities could come after you? So let's all show a bit of maturity, for God's sake. Okay? Let's show a bit of maturity and stop all this abuse and whatever. Right? Okay, we will soon have Angela on the line. Or do we have her yet? No, okay. Is that her? Okay, so please, when we open up our lines, and so on and so forth, please make sure that, you call from a quiet place and your response is matured. You don't need to get worked up about these things. I can understand and appreciate, the place that we're here. For example, you probably don't even know what the inner thoughts of the person talking are to you when he's doing this. The analysis could jolly well be painful to him. For example, I take it to the bank. Even if I can't tell you who my favorite candidate is, it certainly might not be any of the two majors. I mean, but if there's a job to be done, it has to be done. Okay? It has to be done. And we try so hard to do these things in a dispassionate and matured manner, and we expect the same from those who respond. Do we have Angela on the line now? Angela, good morning. No? Hello?
Hello?
Angela, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. D. I hope you had a nice vacation.
I could have had a nice vacation when you kept me up all night. You know, I mean, here I was Yeah, I was. I need to apologize to Olu, though, your husband.
Yes.
Because I think on the APC night, we did almost a 24-hour stretch.
Yes.
You know, in spite of the time difference of time zones, yes, where we both were. But the APC primaries have come and gone. There were surprises. Let me be honest with you. I didn't know the man who won would win. In my calculation, I thought otherwise. But that's what it is. These things is politics after all, and usually there'll be surprises.
Yeah.
I mean, how many surprises am I going to count? Am I going to count Fayemi stepping down for the Jagaban or Amosun stepping down? You know. How many surprises? Am I going to be surprised that Amechi came second and the VP came third?
Yeah.
Even the VP's numbers were so far away from that of the Jagaban. I mean, so there were so many surprises that we got on that day that I feel like quitting my job, you know, and maybe I should go and play the pools. Sometimes it's easier to predict between Manchester United and Manchester City who will win a game and who will draw. But tell me, let's start first. What happened to the campaign of the vice president, who we all thought that was the president's candidate, yes.
Mr. Adisto, I kept telling you, you had the feeling that he wouldn't throw his hat into the ring, the proverbial hat into the ring, if, you know, the president didn't give his approval.
Yes.
But I had recently, in the last 2 months, interviewed the special advisor to the president, Femi Adesina, and he says, if you know the president, he's not the kind of person that will tell you take form or don't take form. All he will do when you come and say, I'm interested, he'll say, oh, go for it. Oh, yes, you are eminently qualified. He'll give you words of encouragement, as he did to everyone, to Umahi, to Ashiwaju, everyone who came to him to say, I want to do this. They did. You know, I didn't actually think that the president would have said, look, if you think about it, you know, it's rare all over the world. It's rare for a vice to succeed
his principal president.
I'm doing a research on it, and I'm yet to find maybe Biden and Obama. Maybe Biden hadn't lost his son at that time. He would have gone try to succeed President Obama. But I haven't seen yet where a vice easily slides in.
So are we to then assume after the event now that the president had no favored candidate? He wasn't going to lift a finger to help anybody.
I don't think he wouldn't have had. You understand? I don't think he wouldn't have had, but he was keeping it close to his chest. He didn't want anyone to use that as bragging rights. You understand? To say, Emilokan, as we say these days.
You have to be very careful. Okay, but what about his wife seems to have been very influential in what happened.
Well, you know, we women, we have our ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see loyalty, we recognize loyalty.
Mm.
And you remember this first lady at a point cried out that some cabal were, you know, running things and all that. So if she genuinely felt that the winner of the primary had contributed to the success of her husband's, election and subsequent re-election in 2019, why shouldn't she be elated and why shouldn't she show it? You understand? In fact, some people are saying maybe Ashiwaju was secretly his candidate. Who knows? Perhaps in his memoirs, he will let us know, you know, what direction.
I don't think this man will write memoirs. I don't think he'll write memoirs. But one thing is this, and you know, I like to, I never thought, and in fact, to be very honest, neither did I support Ashiwaju, that it's within my rights to say so. Not that I have anything personal against him, but
why didn't you think he would emerge?
No, wait, I'm coming.
the top five, remember towards the end?
Yes.
That, 48 hours, five names.
Yes, came up. Yes.
Name. And yes. All those five names were the five names I thought, except Umahi, of course.
Yes.
I didn't think.
Well, I knew he would be amongst the top five, but what I was even going to say, before the journalist in you cut me off. What I was going to say is that, having said all that, I salute his determination. In fact, I recognize that he was, and I said this here, that he was the most determined, and he showed the strongest resolve, to get the ticket. He was the most, was a forerunner, even though it turns out that it was for his own, whatever it is, but so be it. Even though it was like, Emilio Kong, it's my turn, I want to be president, and he didn't actually tie it to anything.
There's nothing wrong with ambition.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I feel there's nothing. Sometimes people feel irritated by overt ambition, but in our country, my late mom would say, when the lizard falls and nobody heals it, it heals itself.
Yes,
this is not a country where modesty works. You understand?
Yes,
it's a country where you have to project yourself. If you don't, no one will recognize you. If you remember, he was the first to kick off.
Yes.
Now I know that was instructive. Starting off in December.
Yes.
Seeing the president, telling him, and then start that round of consultation. When everyone else, because probably they were in office, they were ministers, they had current jobs. He wasn't currently in any job that was holding him back. You understand? So he was able to take advantage of that. And I think that the vice president entered the race a little too late.
Yes.
A little too late. So you don't blame those who are saying, he was waiting for consensus and endorsement and anointing oil and all that. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong in that either. If you've served with your boss for 7 years, you kind of want a nod from him in your direction to say, you think I'm good to go, that kind of thing. So he left it a little too late. Senator Ojudu seems to be a proxy for him, going around consulting, So, and that's why you see the results. Even Amaechi doing much better than the sitting vice president, unprecedented. I mean, politics 101. The APC primaries, that was it for me. Politics 101.
Yes.
I learned quite a bit.
Yeah, so I'd like to crave people's permission for me to doff my hat to the man.
Yeah.
Even though, for whatever, let's look at the issue of his doggedness and determination. Yeah. And I wished we had more people like that who, of course, would be doing it, the betterment of all. But whatever it is, he clinched the ticket. And therefore, I do congratulate him. But I don't understand. There seemed some of the people that actually did come out, I wondered, A, where they got that 100 million naira from, and B, what was the purpose? I mean, here was one of them who is being said, it's been reported, for example, that he's owing the bank. He did get one vote.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you ask yourself, you say, was it a leg in the door or a foot in the door?
Yes, a foot in the door.
Yes, but when do you put that foot forward? If you end up having no vote at all, who would you be representing? Don't you think somebody might be inclined to give him his 100 million back? Or do you think somebody actually sponsored some of these people?
You can never know. That you and I don't have 100 friends that will give us 1 million each to buy that form. And then you're discountenancing something. Something I've also learned after the fact
is, yes,
standing on that stage, that you got to that stage, whether you stepped down or you didn't, whether you got one vote or not, standing on that stage is bragging rights as well.
Bragging rights to what purpose?
It enhances your profile.
How does it enhance your profile if you stood on that stage and you didn't, not even one?
You made it to that stage.
You made it to that stage because you had the 100 million. But politically, you didn't get one vote.
But, what about those who spent 100 million, got on the stage, read that speech and still stepped down. You and I had been talking for like a week. I mean, when you traveled,
yes,
we were witnessing all that back and forth,
yes,
about Southwest leaders trying to get people to step down for each other, and none of that was happening.
Well, the thing about stepping down
forward, you know, and my point was,
yes,
why step down on the stage when you could have stepped down 3 days before?
And because of what you said, because of
step down on the stage.
Because of what you said about wanting to be seen on the stage.
Yeah.
That's probably what it is. And then, are you sure? You know, the man who won the elections is the smartest, one of the smartest persons I've ever seen. Are you sure that some of these people were not sponsored deliberately to come and step down in public to divert attention?
This country is conspiracy theory country. I've heard all kinds of things. I've heard that, in fact, the winner bought forms for like five people.
To distract people.
I've heard all kinds of things. In politics, I'm learning now that people will spread stories that suit their own narrative. You understand? Half of the stories you read, like on social media and stuff, they're pushed out there by people who want to cook a certain kind of soup, and they will push it out there. I've heard all kinds of things. I cannot imagine it to be true that he bought forms for like five people. But I've even heard that he didn't buy his own form. People bought the form for him. So you will hear all these stories, but I still think that paying $100 million for that form gets you in the door. And I now believe that standing on that stage is currency that you will be able to use later. You will be able to. Because if you step down before the day, you don't get that shine. You saw Tambu also in the PDP primary. You know, he still went up, said his 5 minute piece, and then subsequently stepped down. They could all have stepped down before the day. I'm inclined to believe that there is something about bragging rights, or you know, that at least you contested to the end.
Okay, Angela, I'm going to beg you to please just hold on whilst I take a commercial break. Sure, you know the way these things work. Okay. We are in the same business now. Okay. It's Angela Jetumobi still, on the show as our guest. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, I'm going to continue my discussion with Angela, so don't go away.
Sorry, I didn't catch that question.
Amosu and Fayemi, was it on the cards from the onset?
Uh-oh. Amosu and Fayemi?
Stepping down.
Yes.
Was it on the cards? Do you think it was on the cards from the onset?
Okay, let me start with Amosu.
Yeah.
There's always been stories about how, you know, there's no love lost between Amosu and Asiwaju. That's why I'm saying those primaries were politics 101 for me. I'm never going to believe any of these stories again. You know, because if anyone had said that would happen, remember, Akpabio stepped down.
Yes.
Then Amosu stepped down, and then Fayemi was reading a nice speech, and then I just heard him say, "I'm still very young." I thought, no, that sounds off. You know, so I can't say, you know, maybe at the end of it all, the Southwest Caucus meeting with them made all of them reconsider. Because once Atiku emerged, due to the unity between the northern candidates there, and, you know, Atiku was close. If Tambuwa hadn't stepped down for him, Wike could have taken it. I think that may have played on the APC as well. There was a sense and a need for the Southwest candidates to all come together, mm-hmm. You know, and these two former governors, one a former governor, one a true leader. Amos is a leader in Ogun State. And
yes.
Don't forget, the vice president who being from Ogun State, there were three contenders for the votes of delegates in Ogun State. Ashiwaju, the vice president, and Amosu.
Mm.
You know, so I can't say, you know, I believe Amosu did the most prudent thing. Of the three of them, he was probably the weakest link in the chain. One is a sitting vice president, one, you know, is the Ashiwaju, the Jagaban.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you contest delegates with these two? So I can't really tell you that.
Okay, but what did Fayemi mean by saying that I'm still young?
Yeah, what he was saying was, the implication was, you know, there's still time for me in the future.
In the future?
He's only in his 50s, 1965, you know, so he's 57. This year, you know, stepping down for Ashiwaju, who is much older than him, he thought, well, you know, even in 8 years' time, I will still be 65.
How old is Fayemi?
He's 1965, he was born.
Oh, 65?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Six five.
I thought you said 55. No. Okay, okay.
You know, so the implication being, therefore, that as a young man, he still had opportunities in front. Don't forget, Fayemi leaves office 16th of October this year.
Mm.
So, you know, probably looking to the future, if Ashiwaju wins this presidential race, it puts him in a good place. Afabio having resigned as well from the cabinet and now looking unlikely to get the Senate seat,
yes.
You know, stepping down publicly. That public stepping down was significant and very important for Ashiwaju's supporters to see.
Mm.
You know, because Fayemi didn't get the brunt of their tongue as much as the vice president did. But there were still some people who thought he shouldn't have been contesting that seat with Ashiwaju.
Let me tell you, from feelers that you got,
yes.
Some of these people who stepped down, let's take Fayemi as a case study. Do you think they carried their core supporters along, or they were just as surprised?
I think they were just as surprised.
Which is unfortunate.
But they quickly adapted.
Hmm.
You know, and you know, this Omoluabi effort
that the
Yorubas talk about, you know, it became the fallback. The reason everyone fell back onto, you know, we are Omoluabi, this is what we do. We respect our elders in the Southwest kind of thing. You know, but at the end of the day, there was only going to be one winner.
Yes.
Whoever it will be, there will always be stories told.
So it's you know,
no doubt. The winner, you know, is a very stronger political figure.
Now we are going to the Ashiwaju now has to choose a vice president. In fact, I think that presidential candidate. Sorry, and I think that might even just be announced today.
Yes.
Now,
before the 17th, on or by the 17th of June. I don't know what today's date. I've lost sense of time.
So have I.
But you see, the thing is, the question of a running mate. You know, people really need to understand the dynamics of it. I hear people saying, well, you know, Buhari was a northern Muslim and he took a southern Christian. So why can't the APC candidate take a northern Christian? It won't work. It won't work. You know, the death of Yar'Adua, speaking with a few northerners, the death of Yar'Adua really opened their eyes to the possibility that the choice of a running mate is very critical if for any reason the president is incapacitated,
yes,
the vice president becomes really critical. You understand? So
yes.
The North, even on CNN, hearing saying the North is essentially Muslim, the South is essentially Christian. It is a wrong notion, but it is, when I say wrong notion, it's because there's still Christians in the North and there's still Muslims in the South.
Yeah.
But this is a game about winning. No sentiment. If you want to win the seat, there can be no sentiment. The North has the numbers. No president can emerge unless he gets the numbers from at least 4 geopolitical zones. That's the way the Constitution is crafted. You need at least 25. Okay, when you win some states, the states you don't win, you must get at least a quarter of the vote in those states. That's 25% of the vote in those states. So let's say you win, and Ashiwaju wins all the southern states, 17. He still needs 25% of the vote in 7 northern states. You have to have that spread. The Constitution is crafted in such a way that you are not going to be elected president of a region. You must have support across the aisle. When Buhari emerged, it was because he was able to make up 25%, for instance, in Imo State. He was able to get 25% in the South, you know, one or two states there. That's the spirit. And of course, he was able to get 25% down in the Southwest. And that's why every time he lost the election, it was because he was winning in the North, but he couldn't make inroads into the South. You don't play this. No, you know, and you can tell that the winner of the APC primaries is not playing. He knows the game. He can't afford to be sentimental. If he takes a Northern Christian,
yes,
it means to anyone in the North, if anything happens, a Northern Christian will become president. And they reckon that the Muslims are in the majority in the North. It's the same way some people, and I was reading stories of his second one, Senator Binta Garba. I said, if he can't take a Northern Christian, is it a Northern female Muslim he will take? You know, in other words, if anything happens, the female becomes the president. We're not there yet. And these are the issues that people don't understand. You know, this thing, I'm learning more and more, there's no emotion involved. Don't be emotional and don't be sentimental. Elections are pure mathematics. It's pure numbers.
Hard facts.
If you want to win,
yes,
you have to take these hard decisions. No story. There's no, I mean, he's in a hard place. It's a tough call for the APC candidate. He's a Southern Muslim. If he takes a Northern Christian, he's out of the race. At least with a Northern Muslim, he can still fight for some vote.
But how do you think the South would react to the
Muslim-Muslim
ticket? Exactly, because
now the Christian Association of Nigeria is saying they must all have Christians. Anyone who has a Muslim candidate, you know, but the, you know, people do say, political watchers, and I've heard this a lot, the Southwest never votes along religious lines. Maybe this time it will be different. In 1993, people are comparing this Muslim-Muslim ticket to that of MKO 1993. In 1993, there were no killings as a result of blasphemy.
Yeah.
Things have changed now. Things have changed.
And there was also an urgent need to get the military out, you know.
Yes, there was an
urgent need. So these other issues were not there.
But the military. It's not the same now. A lot of Christians feel that, you know, even when there was a Christian vice president, we were persecuted, we still saw people being killed for blasphemy. We've had a few of those blasphemy killings. So I'm not sure how the Christians are going to react. Now, are they going to come out en masse and say, you know what, that's it.
Okay.
You know, we don't want to be second-class citizens in this country.
Angela, we'll have to leave it for there. I need to take out time for people to call in. But, you know, I'll be back on you again. And thank you for disturbing my holiday, okay? Thank you very much, Angela. God bless you. My regards to Olu and Tega. And remind to tell Tega I have an issue with him in case he's listening. So he can come ask me, Uncle Jimmy, what is it? Thank you very much, Angela, and God bless.
Thank you, and have a good day.
You too. Bye. Well, that was Angela Ajetunmobi, as usual. You know, top-notch when it comes to this kind of analysis. Okay, so let's go now. Let's take, it's 9:42. This gives us just about roughly 8 to 12 minutes. So a minute per person. Let's see if we can squeeze in about 10 reactions. Okay, so let's do it speedily. Just give your name and react immediately and give chance to some other person. Now, remember, call from a quiet place, mind your language. Those two things are very important. Let's be matured and let's be disciplined. Okay, I'll take the first caller of the day. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Jimmy.
Morning.
God bless you. I thank you. This is my first caller. I thank you. I'm one there who has spoken last. You know, when we talk of Muslims, you see what is happening in this country. Even though our man is coming as Rajiv. He is going to be telegraphed by the Muslim popularity in the North. Have you seen Christians try to kill him personally? He will say sorry. He will leave you.
Okay, no, sir, excuse me. Now, you've gone way out of we've gone way out of we're looking at the mathematics of it. At another time, we might look into Christian, Muslim, whatever. But we don't want to lose sight of the fact that it's political. Please try and stick to the topic, okay? I know it's an emotional subject, but we will handle that at another time. What Angela did, just in case you missed it, is just to give an analysis of what to make. She hasn't said that he has to consult any Muslims or consult anybody. I'm going to be very, very guided, you know, in taking in responses to the issues that come up. And I'm not going to be given to undue sentiments that people want to introduce. There's a forum for that in some other place. What we want to have here is plain, matured discussion. Okay? So let's try and do it without prejudice or whatever to some other issues that we have. The day we discuss those other issues, we'll know how to handle it. Let's take another call. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
This is Joy.
Morning, Madam Joy. How are you?
Very well. Okay, yes. I told my colleagues and some of the people that I hang out with after the convention, I said the game has just started.
Yes.
You know, then we were waiting to see who would do the primaries first, you know.
Yes.
And PDP did theirs. And it's as if that now made the APC now open their eyes to, okay, I think we actually need to put our house together. Now they did it. Now time for the VP. And that game is also playing. Now APC is also waiting for PDP to bring out their own. And PDP is also waiting to see who will come out. I think they will all come out at the same time. Then nobody will say, okay, let me go back and change whatever I have done. You see, and APC do not have choice. They have to do a Muslim Christian. You know, they don't actually have a choice, because if they say they want to do Muslim, it's actually also going to backfire for them. In some of the northern states, we have call Christians as well. So you see, now it's just a game. I'm just sitting back and watching and see how all this.
Okay, all right. Thank you very much, Madam Joy. It's quite sad that issues have gotten to this level, because I'm just thinking, so if you had two good candidates and you could balance them, at least one from the north, one from the south, you now have to go into religion. Maybe 10 years down the line, a third factor would come in. I wonder how the country would react if you had a Muslim and you had an unbeliever, as they call them. What would then happen? What would go down? But like Angela said, we are looking at the hard facts. We are not moralizing. you know, we're looking at what is. You know, and that's why I had to cut the other gentleman short. I didn't want the debate to go beyond. We're looking at the hard facts to say, if this happens, this is likely to happen. If that happens, this is likely to happen. Let me take another caller. Hello?
Yes.
Ah, Kelvin, how are you?
You know, we had a private conversation during your holidays.
Yes, yes.
While you were speaking, a lot of people did not know, you know, that some of us know the deep frustration in you.
Yes.
So when I was just laughing where I was, I said, yeah, this is I never knew anything.
See, I tell you, okay. Kevin.
Yes. You see, personally, I'm not interested in Muslim or Christians.
Yes.
Said it before on that platform. Alati Jakondi was Muslim with his deputy. And Lagos had a fantastic, you know, leadership here.
Yes.
You know, so sometimes these things, this intolerance that will break into issues does not really matter. What it does is it deepens the division. And the politicians started it up an issue, you know, for their own selfish end. But the irony of it is each election period, it comes back to haunt them, you know. So for me, I'm not interested. If they want to, I mean, what we want is competence. I'm not really giving about this religion or something.
Okay.
That is who we are. So, but for the Jagaban, congratulations to him. Some of us did not see it coming. And he must come to apologize to us soon. That's our local, it was the slogan of our local government chairman. I don't know how he got it.
I mean, Kevin, let my cousin breathe in soon. We are going to do a special session on Sulele one of these days,
yes,
especially
yes.
As it concerns the environment. We mustn't let Sulele go to the dogs.
Yes, exactly. Because it's coming up over.
Yes, it's gradually becoming a ghetto. We're not going to agree.
Yes.
Okay,
so congratulations to him. And I like the way he's going to about making faces, even though they don't have any single votes, you know, going to meet them and all that. That will show that the man has this in terms of politics.
Yes.
So let's see how it goes.
Yes. Okay. All right. Kelvin almost let the cat out of the bag. He's one of the few people that know the inner workings of my mind. It's a tough job we're doing here, I'm telling you. I wish I had something else to do, but it's too late. I just wish I could just do the album every day, you know, have fun and go home. Let's take another caller here. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning, Uncle Jimmy.
Morning.
My name is Roman Empire. I'm calling from Abuja at the moment.
Morning.
I think breaking news reaching here is Okowa VP to article.
Oh, I see.
That's called to say that not wicked that people are clamoring or thinking before.
Thank you.
All right.
Well, thanks for that information. It's not yet verified, so we can't go by it. It's not yet verified, so I'll just let it slide. Hello, good morning. Hello, morning. We have you on Skype. Who's calling?
Hello, good morning. Good morning, sir.
Yes, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Ikoyi.
Yes.
My name is Osa.
Ah, Osa, how are you?
Sir, I'm fine, sir. Good morning, sir.
Quickly.
I think I would disagree with Madam Angela on some certain issues. And see, look at the population of the country. Look at it. Well, look at it critically. We're like almost balanced, maybe 55 Muslim. I mean, maybe like that, less than 5%. And in the north, I grew up in the north, so I only know. So what you call the north, the core areas where you have the core Muslims are the north central, northwest and the northeast. The north central from Talaba, from Plateau and Kou, they're all majority Christian states. So for Muslim, see, when I hear Muslim, the same way about President Buhari told Ashwaju then, back then in 2014, 2015, that there will not be Muslim tickets. I think me, I'm against it because of the present way we find ourselves with. Because it's supposed to be a government of unity. We the Christians feel that they are not, protected when they don't have anybody there.
Yes.
So I think it's very, very insensitive at this particular moment. Yes, we did it in 1993. 1993 is different from now. Like you said in your era program, which I agree with you, it was a military era. We wanted to get them out of here. But look at the crisis we have, bombings in churches and mosques. And so people want to have a self of, yes, we are part of this union.
Okay.
So to me, I know it's very difficult, but I'm not thinking something that can fly.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, that's where I'll draw the curtains for today. That's where I'll draw the curtains for today. I'll be back again tomorrow. I'm going to have Captain Blade here. We'll be talking security issues also. Bring it up and use it to see how it affects or how it would be important, the defense issues important in choosing Nigeria's next president. So I'll have Captain Blade. And then on Saturday, the discourse at 9 o'clock, this same station, I'm going to have Dr. Ayeni. Okay, I roped him in and then got his approval. He is going to talk about, or we are both going to talk about, the danger in any form of surgery. Any form. Because this is related to the lady in Port Harcourt who died from some cosmetic surgery. But I like, so, you know, Dr. Ayeni will be telling us any form of surgery, the dangers that are, you know, that are embedded in such surgeries, and maybe why or why not they can be avoided. I mean, so even for me, even those that are completely necessary sometimes, wisdom would say, why don't you just leave it? But let's see how it goes. I'm particular about that because of the way a lot of our ladies are going, doing tummy tuck, with the enhancement, and all these vein things, and then, of course, bleaching and so on and so forth, all these things. Dr. Ayeni will talk about it on Saturday, and maybe by the time politics is all gone, we'll start a proper campaign in that area, you know, to stop our people from destroying themselves. So that's what we have for tomorrow and the day after. I'd like to sign out. Isoka is coming up next with you're coming up with
Lagos.
With what's it called?
What's up Lagos?
What's up Lagos? What is up? You tell me quickly.
Ooh, what's up in Lagos?
Yes. Kilo happen. Which is what are guan? What's going down?
Well, lots of funny, gisty, vibey. We just have fun with everyone.
And yeah, you know, I'm glad for programs like that because all these serious political problems is giving me a headache. Mm-hmm. I didn't sleep well last night. Eh? Maybe look, let's swap. Tomorrow you handle Blade and I'll do What's Up Lagos. Is that a deal?
I'll think about it.
Yeah, think about it.
I'll let you know.
All right. It's okay. Thank you very much. And thank you all for listening. I'll be back here tomorrow at 9 a.m. Bye.
Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info.